hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now the Whistler's strange story. Letter from yesterday.
Sitting by the window of the streamliner as it sped through the night toward Los Angeles, Arthur Wilson seemed like any average middle-aged businessman. But there had been a time when Arthur Wilson was something else, somebody else, Jack Foley. So it had been 25 years ago, Jack Foley, now Arthur Wilson, would never forget it. The plaintive wail of the train whistle drifting back at him now somehow recalls that other time and place, exactly as if it were now, this moment. Perhaps it was because another whistle had marked the time when it all began. The night that Jack Foley was given a chance to reach out, to grasp a new life. That night, 25 years ago, in a prison machine shop.
That's all you guys! Clean up this shop!
Right.
Well, Dave, that about does it. This truck's practically got a new motor in it.
Yes, he's in fine shape, Foley.
Come on, let's get this stuff cleaned up all the way.
Yeah? The admission keys. Hand them over.
Huh?
Look, I don't want any trouble. Give me the keys. I'm getting out of here.
Prison break. Now, wait a minute.
Shut up. It's all set. Evans and Harris are by the delivery gate. I'm picking them up with this truck and we're getting out. You want to come along?
Hey, let's hold it up back there.
Make up your mind fully fast. The car will be coming back here. And I got to take care of them. Well, what do you say?
It happens suddenly, doesn't it? A chance for freedom thrust into your hand. You have 3 more years to serve on your sentence for manslaughter. A sentence that was the result of a moment of blind, unreasoning anger. You still feel it was unjust, don't you? That the judge's decision was too harsh. And now, in an instant, it's up to you to make your own decision.
Come on, Foley. Come on along, all right? The guy's on his way back in now.
All right. I'm with you. Let's go.
Journey toward Los Angeles to attend the wedding of your daughter, Sally. The trip is uneventful, calm, the hour before the storm, but you have no way of knowing that. And on an evening a week later, you're thinking only of Sally as you dance with her at the home of Mrs. Alice Terhune Franklin, mother of a fiancé, Stephen Franklin.
Oh, Dad, isn't it wonderful? I'm so happy.
I know you are. You show it.
I guess I do. That's part of the whole thing is you're here.
You think I'd miss it, dear? My only daughter. To think in 4 more days you'll be married.
I wish Mother could have been here.
Yes. So do I.
Do you like Stephen?
Of course. He's a great kid. Your future mother-in-law seems very nice, too.
Mrs. Franklin? Oh, she's... Well, Dad, come on, let's go join Stephen. He's in the library.
You can't leave that man of yours for 5 minutes, eh?
I'll leave him later for a dance with you.
All right, dear.
Well, there you are, Sally.
Sorry I lost you. Just bringing her back to you, Stephen.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Enjoying yourself, sir?
Yes, I'm doing fine.
I'll bet you do a lot better with a little refreshment. Oh, Jameson.
Yes, sir?
What'll it be, Miss Wilson? Creme de menthe? A singer? Well, what about you, Mother?
A singer sounds exciting, but just a small one, Jameson. And please have Hilda serve the sandwiches.
Yes, ma'am. And you, sir?
Sting will be fine for me, too.
Bring them out on the terrace, Jameson. I want Mr. Wilson to see the way we've lighted the garden.
Oh? Now be careful of Mother, Mr. Wilson. Dangerous woman.
Very.
Now you two run along and dine. Sally, take him away.
I'd love to.
That son of mine.
He's a fine boy.
Yes, he is. Here, we can go this way.
Oh, thank you. Nice.
Yes. And it was a good excuse. I wanted to talk to you, Mr. Wilson, alone.
Oh?
This is rather difficult for me to talk about, Mr. Wilson. But, well, quite frankly, I'm concerned. And now I don't want you to think it's because we don't all love Sally. We do. But,
But what, Mrs. Franklin?
Well, you've run a hardware store, Mr. Wilson, in Medford.
Anything wrong with that?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm sure that it's a very fine store. But before that, who were you? What did you do?
Who was I?
Well, what I mean is, we know so little about you. Sally herself doesn't even seem sure. I only wondered if you...
It's quite natural that you'd wonder, Mrs. Franklin, but I can set your mind at ease. I was brought up by an uncle. Ran away like so many youngsters did in those days. Went to sea for a while.
Oh? And your uncle? Oh, where is he now?
He's dead. He's my mother's brother. As for my father, well, I scarcely remember him, but...
Mr. Wilson, I don't mean to recall unhappy moments to you. I know you must think I'm terrible, but you see, my son...
I think I understand. I feel the same way about my daughter, Mrs. Franklin. I'm proud that she's marrying Stephen.
Thank you. And I'm sure you can see that I would at least inquire, so that the children shouldn't make a mistake that they might regret.
There could be no regrets, Mrs. Franklin. No reason that there should be. Believe me.
Very well, Mr. Wilson. We won't discuss it any further. And thank you. After all, the important thing is that Stephen is going to marry a fine girl.
I'm glad you feel that way about Sally.
Oh, I do. And now, if you don't mind, I'll just go back in. Stephen knows that I've been worried, and I want to tell him that everything is all right.
Well, thank you. Mind if I stay out here a few minutes?
Oh, yes, do, by all means. It's so nice and quiet that gives the person a chance to think.
Yes.
Oh, and here's Jameson. You can serve Mr. Wilson here, Jameson.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just going back inside. I'll take mine. Thank you.
I'll be along shortly, Mrs. Franklin.
All right.
Your drink, sir?
Oh, yes. Thanks.
Thinking of something else?
Yes, I was. But it doesn't matter.
I think it would, sir. To her.
What are you talking about?
Delightful woman, Mrs. Franklin. Pleasant. Friendly. But very, very devoted to that son of hers. All she has in the world, you know.
Aren't you being a little presumptuous, Jameson?
Presumptuous? Oh, no, sir. Not at all. I wouldn't dare be presumptuous to one of Mrs. Franklin's guests. She could cause a lot of trouble, you know, to anyone who wasn't right in line.
You're a little confusing, Jameson. Don't suppose you've been sapping these stingers.
No, sir. I never drink when I've got business on my mind. But I don't want to be confusing. I want to be perfectly clear. She was asking questions, wasn't she? To know all about you.
Now, see here, Jameson.
I'm talking, sir. And you'd better listen quite carefully if you know what's good for you. Because I could break up your daughter's marriage in a minute. Mr. Jack Foley.
Jack Foley?
Yes, sir. We know the gentleman, don't we? Now, shall we talk about him? Or do you think Jack Foley prefers to go back behind those prison bars?
Speaking. Vaudeville is dead. And well it should be, for I have just discovered that for 200 years it went under a false name. The whole sticky mess began with a chap named Olivier Basselin, who lived in Normandy in the 15th century. This Bassarin fellow wrote songs which poked fun at current events and brought him a fair amount of pain. Since he lived in the Valley of the Vere, or as it was said in 15th century French, Vaux de Vere, his compositions were called Vaux de Vere songs. Naturally, his ballads worked their way to Paris. But the Parisians botched the whole thing. They started calling Bassarin's creations vaudeville songs. This meant, of all things, Valley of the City. Plays that used such songs were called comedies with vaudeville. Later, Americans borrowed this incorrect term, vaudeville, to identify the kind of variety show that played the palace. And so you see, no one should be downhearted because vaudeville is dead. It never existed at all. During all those years, it was really vaudeville. My word.
And now back to the Whistler.
Later to join in that prison break. And now this startling recognition by a servant in the home of your daughter's fiancé, who calls himself Jameson. He can destroy everything, can't he? Your daughter Sally's coming marriage, your business in Medford. He can even brand your whole life as a masquerade and tell them all who you really are and send you back to prison.
Jack Foley, my old classmate, and I'm not mistaken. I've been very careful, Jack.
My name is Wilson.
Arthur Wilson.
Sure. And mine's Jameson.
Now it is.
Used to be Sanders. Remember Ben?
Three cells down from you.
Same section.
Number 34192.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've lived in Medford, Oregon for a quarter of a century. I never heard of you.
Oh, come now, Foley. Put on your thinking cap.
I've told you my name is Wilson. I never saw you before.
Ay, what a contrasting memory. Why, I recognized you instantly.
But it's understandable.
I was a very young man, and you only knew me a short time.
You, left us rather suddenly, Jack.
Stop calling me that.
Sorry, sir. That better? You know, I ought to call you Lucky.
Lucky Jack.
But now, Arthur Wilson. Successful businessman, his daughter about to marry into one of the best families in the state.
What are you after?
Huh? Memory's getting better, isn't it?
What is it? What are you after?
Is this some sort of blackmail pitch you're giving me?
Now, you know, that's an interesting thought.
It might be if I were the man you think I am.
The man I know you are.
How have you worked here, Jameson? Or Sanders, if you prefer. 6 months or so?
You must be out of your mind.
Suppose I happen to be Jack Foley. You think for 1 minute that Mrs. Franklin or anyone else would take your word for it?
No, sir. Certainly not.
Well, then what are you driving at? Why all these ridiculous suggestions?
Jameson. Sir, I have what is known in the trade as a black on white. Surely you remember Professor Flip Dolan, Dean of Forgery? He was in another section, but in the apartment just below.
I'm getting tired of this, Jameson.
Great man, Professor Dolan. To the professor, any written document was a black on white.
I, have such a document.
Regarding Foley?
Regarding you, sir.
Yes. The light's very good out here.
Well,
show it to him. But remember, the light's also too good for you. Start anything.
You seem to think of everything.
Take a look at this and you'll really think so, sir. Yeah. The letterhead will convince you, I think. Look at it. Bureau of Identification, Washington, D.C. Department of Fingerprints.
The Bureau of Identification sent my fingerprints to you?
Oh, no, sir. It was the other way around. I sent your fingerprints to them.
But it's quite simple.
I training, you know. I'm sure that as a hardware merchant, you were grateful, shall I say, to our maker. your work in the machine shop. I've used my training in photography to advantage many times. Taking fingerprints is a very simple process.
Hold on, Jim.
Where did you get my fingerprints?
Oh, they're all over the house, sir.
Naturally, as a servant anxious to please, I go all over the house. I picked up your prints the first night you were here. Water glass, wine glass, knife, fork. Then I sent the photograph off to Washington.
It's incredible,
but true, huh? The answer here arrived this morning. The prints of Jack Foley, escaped convict, and Mr. Arthur Wilson are both exactly the same. Amazing coincidence, don't you think?
What are you going to do?
The question of what you're going to do, Jack.
For me. Call me Wilson. Arthur Wilson.
Gladly, Mr. Wilson. You'll cooperate then?
My daughter is getting married in 4 days. What is it you want?
Oh, I'm very common as a blackmailer. I want
money.
$20,000.
You might as well ask for $1 million. I haven't had more than $2,000 or $3,000 in the past 2 years.
Oh, come now. A prosperous hardware merchant?
I don't even own the store, Jameson. Most of the stock is on consignment.
We'll have to sell things much faster than you ever did, won't you, old chap?
I can't raise that much money, Jameson.
Now, I'm the one who's getting tired. You'll raise it fully, every dime, no more, no less, and I want it by Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
2 days? That's impossible. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to the police.
Go right ahead. And I'll go to Mrs. Franklin with this letter. That'll wreck both our futures. Then I haven't got my daughter's happiness to worry about. Tuesday at 4, sir?
I bet I have a chance to think, at least.
Certainly, sir. Yes, I suggested. Put on your thinking cap. Good evening.
Pleasant chap.
Very pleasant
chap. There it is, Arthur. A demand that places your future and your daughter's happiness squarely on the block. It's all over if you don't meet Jameson's request for the money. And you haven't the slightest idea when you're going to get it, even part of it. But you have to try. The next morning, from a booth in a neighborhood drugstore, you put through a call to Walter Reynolds, president of the Medford Grain Exchange Bank.
I have your party, sir. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, Walter. This is Arthur Wilson.
Oh, yes, Arthur. What can I do for you?
Well, something's come up. I can't go into details over the phone, but I've got to raise some money.
Certainly, Arthur.
It's an unusual amount, but
shall we take care of it, Arthur? We'll be glad to credit your account with a cup of
coffee. Well, it's more than that. I need $20,000, Walter.
$20,000? Why, you know we couldn't handle that, Arthur.
I know it's a great deal, and I figured that banking with you for over 20 years meant something.
It does, Arthur. Of course it does. That's why I just agreed to a couple of thousand. But 20? I can go only so far. Look, Arthur, if it'll do any good, I'll add my personal income to make it 5,000.
$5,000?
Is that better? I'll wire it to you down there in care of the interstate trust and save.
$5,000. All right.
Rich, Walter.
Thanks a lot.
It doesn't mean much, does it? Add it to your checking account and the few traveler's checks you're carrying. It's still a total of only $6,500. Jameson said $20,000. And you know that's his price for delivering you the letter from the Bureau of Identification. That will bring your pass late. You put through another call to your closest friend, Ward Worthington, only to discover that he's away on business and can't be reached. It's $6,500 and nothing, isn't it? And the next morning, returning from the Interstate Trust Bank, you tell yourself that you're going to get that letter. Later, you're nervous and trembling as you face
him. Well, Foley, you've got the money, have you?
Look, Jameson, give me a break, will you? If you only
realize... Well, the money for him. Stop that talking.
You can't do that.
Can't I?
I don't care for myself, but it's Sally, her happiness. You can't do this, Jameson. It would ruin everything for her.
I understand, Pauline. I really wouldn't want that to happen.
And it won't.
As long as you hand over $20,000.
Well, I wasn't able to get it.
You weren't able to?
How much did you get?
$6,500. Well, that's absurd, Pauline. Not even half what I asked.
Keep your voice down and stop calling me Pauline.
Oh, I should have told you. We're practically alone.
Franklin went downtown. Stephen's out with you. Walter, you're not going to destroy that happiness, Jameson. I want that letter.
Now, don't get impulsive. I'm not fool enough to get careless, you see?
Gun.
What's that for? Detection. I know all about you.
again, haven't you? You stand over him, the rage slipping away into fear. You didn't try to kill Jameson, but you could never prove it if you were found here. You shake your head, trying to clear your senses.
The letter.
You must get that letter. You stoop down, rub it to his pocket, and then turn to start out of the room. That's when you realize what Jameson meant when he said you were practically alone. There's a frightened girl standing there, still to the maid, her eyes wide, moving back and forth from you to the silent figure on the floor.
You killed him. You shot me, Jameson.
It was an accident. You've got to believe me.
I saw it from the hall with my own eyes.
It was self-defense. I had to do it, Hildy. You've got to tell them that. The door. Someone's at the door. Stall them, Hilda. Try to send them away. I've got to have time to think this off.
Oh, so you're killing with my own eyes, I did.
He's
Mr. Wilson. That's Mr. Jameson on the floor.
He's
that? Yes. Mr. Wilson, they're just killed him. I saw it with my own eyes, I did.
Well, what do you know? I come to pick up a blackmailer and catch a killer right in the act.
He's got a letter for Mr. Jameson's inside pocket. I saw him when he's done it. With my own eyes.
Let's have it, Wilson. Bureau of Identification, Washington, D.C. This letter must have meant a lot to you, Wilson. Come on, let's go.
The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story. A Voice of Freedom, Irwin Chanum, editor, Christian Science Monitor.
Liberty is not merely a political fad. It has a deep spiritual base. To help preserve liberty and power, we must live it more equitably in our lives and our own society. We must make our national society so honorable, so principled, so responsive to man's first, deepest needs that it draws the whole world to its core.
Now back to the Whistler.
Well, it's all over, isn't it, Arthur? Your long year of living a double life. The end of the masquerade is Arthur Wilson. The name you took up some 25 years ago, when under your real name, Jack Foley, you escaped from prison. And now, in a sudden moment of blind rage, you tried to disarm the butler, Jameson, who had known you in prison. A man who was blackmailing you, threatening to expose your almost forgotten past. And the struggle for the gun had ended with an explosion. Death. After a sleepless night in your cell, you're taken to the office of District Attorney Grant. Your one thought is for Sally. Dead? Your daughter's approaching marriage means more to you than any punishment which the district attorney might have in mind for you. As he faces you across the table, you barely understand his words. You're thinking only of protecting Sally and her future happiness.
I sympathize with you, Mr. Wilson. Blackmail's a dirty business. But you should have let us handle it. The minute Jameson or Sanders wrote that letter to the FBI, it was all over for you.
For him?
That's right. Those boys down there never overlook a bet. Anytime they get a suspicious communication, they look into it. In this case, they naturally examine Sanders' notes for fingerprints. His prints were in a dozen different spots.
Sanders' prints?
Sure. On both the letter and the envelope he mailed it in. From there on, it was essential. We've been looking for Sanders for a long time. When the bureau tipped us off that the butler, Jameson, was Sanders, I sent one of my boys out to pick him up. If you waited a few minutes, he'd been out of your hair. You should have come straight to us, Wilson.
I can see that now. Mr. Grant, could you keep this out of the papers? Keep my name covered for a couple of days until after my daughter's wedding. Then I'll play any hand you deal.
Your daughter's wedding?
Yes. You see, she's being married.
Hey, Miller. I guess you haven't seen the morning papers. Your daughter eloped to Las Vegas, Nevada with young Franklin yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday afternoon?
Yeah. Come on, let's get out.
but an hour before you killed the butler. Seems the kids didn't want all the father out of a big wedding and just took things into their own hands.
That's wonderful. Wait, does Mrs. Franklin know about me, my past?
Oh, yes. She's retained a personal attorney to represent you. She's sure of the man.
And Sally is too. She's satisfied?
She's quite happy. Thinks your daughter's a great girl. Too bad your boy wouldn't be so impulsive, Wilson. You'd have been a lot better off if you'd have come to us right away. Even if it meant finishing your jail sentence.
I know. But I just had to have that letter to Jameson from the Bureau of Identification.
My daughter's happened.
You didn't read that letter,
did you?
No, your man took it before I had a chance.
Take a look at it.
Dear Mr. Jameson, regarding the fingerprint photos accompanying your inquiry as to the further identity of one Arthur Wilson, could it be apparent that information of this kind is available only to duly authorized agencies for the enforcement of the law?